The 9 Years podcast is brought to you in association with Season Master and the Window Workshop. All right, everybody, and welcome to episode 323 of the 9 Years podcast. This could get confusing. This is the 2023-24 season preview edition of the show. I am Nick Draper. I am joined, as always, by the host of the BBC, by the host of the BBC Sport website. Oh, dear. By the face of the BBC Sport website. You have. Well done. Mr. Stuart Deakins, I have nothing more to add. It is a season preview edition. You know what that means. We're going to look at our squad. We're going to look at what we think is going to happen in the Division League 2 as a whole. We're also going to have a look ahead to the trip to Grimsby on Saturday. And we have a brand new game as well, Stu. And I know there are many of you out there that are super excited by the idea of a game every single week on the show. Don't worry, we're never getting rid of it. We've just got a new different game this year and it's amazing. I am so impressed with myself for coming up with it. But anyway, enough with that. Thank you very much for downloading the show, however you have done so. We are, of course, the 104% unofficial podcast still, and we'll leave it there. Let's get straight into it, Stu. I want to talk about our first episode of the new season last week, when we interviewed Craig Cope, our head of football operations.
Do you know what? I was thinking to myself, did we do one? I'm like, it was such a mad day, wasn't it, at Pompey? Pompey game. Was it QPR? I forget. There you go. Craig Cope kindly gave us an hour of his time, didn't he, in between loads of stuff going on. Yeah, totally forgot about it. But yeah, it was a good interview. It's one of those ones when you do an interview sometimes, you don't always, I would not say don't pay attention, but sometimes you miss bits and pieces. You know, it's only when you listen back to it in your own time that you sort of capture some stuff. And it was actually really more impressive than what I thought. He gave us a lot of his time and actually, I don't know about you, but I come away from there even more positive. I've been fortunate enough to speak to Craig quite a bit, but I come away from there even more confident that we are we're progressing exactly the way we should be off the pitch.
Yeah, as we said, position that we felt we needed for a long time, finally got it sorted, and I think we're going to see the benefits of it. We're expecting to see the benefits of having Craig in. One question we asked him about last season, why we ended it so poorly, and he made the point that actually out of however many seasons, 11 seasons back in the Football League, how we've only ever had one top half finish and we've had really poor second halves of the seasons on a number of occasions. And he spoke about last season in particular. He said main reason that he came up with was injuries and the fact our squad wasn't big enough to survive the number of injuries we had, a lot of young players having to come in onto the bench to fill gaps, left us a bit short. And I just wanted to pick up with him at the time, but we just wasn't the opportunity to. That problem of squad depth was exacerbated for me by the 5-sub rule. And you look back to some fixtures, I remember these were all be home games, but home games with Mansfield, with Salford, famously, Stevenage as well. Their size of their squads made such a big difference because they had the option of the 5 subs. And obviously they had more numbers and more established first team experienced players to choose from. Just would like to remind everyone, my opinion of the 5-substitute rule is it is absolutely dire and horrendous and awful, and I see no reason to have it whatsoever. So when we start thinking about ways that the club are looking to save money and increase revenue, remember the reason we're doing that is because we need to fund a squad that can cope and play against teams that have got some private finance, which means that they can spend more on salaries to have a squad of at least 16 first choice, basically. Normally what you'd expect to see, first 11 players, experienced players, which we didn't have last season. I find it a mad rule. And I note we're going to come up to some of the other rule changes that are going to be instigated ahead of this new season. I note the Championship now is going to allow teams to name 9 subs. Why on earth would you have a bench of 9 subs in the Championship?
Yeah, Joey, it's never, you know as well as I do, we're never going to get away from 5 subs. You know, technically, you might, I don't want to bore you, I don't want to rattle your cage so early on in the podcast season. But wouldn't surprise me if you got to six. Well, you technically can get to six subs.
You can already, yeah.
Technically, if you go into a cup extra time, you get an extra sub, or you get a concussion sub. So you technically can have six anyway, can't you? And don't get me wrong, a concussion sub, I have no issue with at all.
No, that's fine.
And I think it's a good ruling. As long as the clubs play ball, I think there's only so. I think there was a situation where wasn't there a player? I'm trying to think now, but there was a situation where a player stayed on, and there's no way they should have stayed on. And then equally in the same weekend, there was a player that come off who didn't want to come off, but was basically said no. The medical staff enforced that substitution. But yeah, the championship. Hey, look, let's be fair. You go to a World Cup now, you can name your whole squad. Remember the days when we had like 24 men squad at Italia 90, and there was people who never even got on the bench. Now you're on the bench, so if you're in the squad, you're on the bench as a possible substitution. So it doesn't surprise me. I actually, that rule hadn't actually caught my attention, to be honest with you. I suppose just because it's not a surprise, really, the way it's going.
There are some rules that caught your attention. There's one that came to my attention, most people's attention, which is the new injury time rule, where they're going to have set time amounts that they're going to register and add on to the end of the 90 minutes for substitutions, goal celebrations. I think the clock is going to be stopped when a penalty is awarded and not restarted. And then however long it takes before the penalty is actually taken, they're going to add that on to the end of the game as well. Johnny Jackson, Meet the Manager, earlier this week, had an interview since then on social media. Reading between, well, not even reading between the lines, really. I'm not sure he's sold on this idea whatsoever. He does not look particularly enthused by the idea of games lasting 100, perhaps 105 minutes, however long it might be. Some of the ridiculous times we saw in the World Cup. Well, I didn't see any of the World Cup. I was told about it because I didn't watch any of the World Cup. But I just, do you know what? Nobody wants this. Literally, nobody wants. People would like to see, well, people say they'd like to see time wasting cut down on when you see it taken to the extent that the Wickhams of this world took it to in previous seasons. But by the same token, every single club is guilty of it. We all do it. We did it. Goalkeeper catches a simple cross and falls to the ground theatrically and lies there for 30 seconds. Every single team does it. Nobody wants to see this added on time to the nth degree. And especially if you are away at Barrow, for example, and the only train back to London departs at something like 10 past five. You've got other considerations to take into account. And, when you have situations in the past where you might have had a bad, like a bad injury, like we saw a really bad injury in a friendly the other day, didn't we? And you accept that, don't you? Because those are sort of freak occurrences. But when you start getting into these 10, 15-minute extra injury time periods because of all this, because, they stop the clock when the ball went out for a throw and stuff like this, it just would become too much. Too much. I'm not looking forward to it at all.
It's weird. You're probably not surprised if I differ on this one because I'm a little bit. I maybe it's where I'm tight in my old age, right? But if I'm going to pay for 90 minutes, and you could argue and say that I've never paid for 90 minutes, even going back to the olden days, and you're probably right. It was interesting, right? So the average ball in play stats they have for League Two is 48 minutes on average. The ball is in play, i.e., you action. So 48 minutes, 50 minutes in League One, 52 minutes in the Championship, and 55 in the Premier League. Which probably means in the Premier League you've got better players. You can't kick it into Row Z all the time. But in a, I'm all for cutting time wasting out. I don't think you're going to cut time wasting out because there's always going to be new ways of wasting time, isn't there? But I also do want to. I do want to get. I suppose in a way, I'd rather the referees managed it better, the time wasting, because we've all seen it. We all know it. What they're gonna, so not, I don't think they're going to stop the clock. I think they're going to probably a mental clock in terms of a mental. That's a minute. That's it. Because we know for substitutions, it's 30 seconds for each
Yeah, well,
substitution, isn't it?
apparently, yeah,
Yeah. So
allegedly.
the time, so the time that's going to be considered to be added on is goal celebrations, which I actually agree. And there was a sample where there was an injury time goal that basically took all the injury time in the celebration. Strangely enough, do you know what I mean? So they're saying now goal celebration time is going to be added on, substitutions, we know, injuries. And an interesting one is preparation for free kicks is
Oh,
going to be
jeez.
added on.
Oh, my good God.
See,
I'm
this is
never going to
how
get
I knew this.
home.
See, I knew it was going to wrap your cage, which is why when I found it, I was like, this is happy. But you know what? When you think about it, though, right, there are sometimes we take forever, and sometimes the referee's guilty of it, like measuring 10 yards, it's nowhere, I don't know where he got the measurement tape from. So And this is why they reckon that, the World Cup had was famous for literally having 10, 15, there's 21 minutes in the England game, but that was due to
Okay,
but that
fair.
was due to two injuries. I think there was 10 substitutions or something. But you're right. The other side to it is that away games, we've got a lot of fans who book train travel, which is not cheap when they're running. So I suppose what it does, right? Just don't call the referee a blank word, because if you do, he's probably going to think, "Well, I know what train you got going back, and I'm going to pay 20 minutes injury time now for you. That'll do
If the referee looks over to the West Stand where I'm sat and someone's yelling, if he can actually pick out who was saying it, fair play to him. No wonder his referee's got with eyesight like that. Jeez.
But you're right. Look, it's going to happen in the Women's World Cup that I've been watching and been enjoying, to be fair. It's now 10, 11, 12 minutes
That sounds
of
like
time added on.
torture.
But it is if you like last season, where we're holding on to a lead and we know we've now got another under our
We were never holding on to
eye. But look, from a serious point of view, I'm all for us seeing more action in terms of balls on pitch, not balls on pitch being played. I'm all for that. I'd rather the referees managed it better. Hey, look, I was, and you're going to really hate me for this, I'd rather go back to having an independent time, not go back, but copy what Rugby League do in terms of having, actual stop the game and the last phase of play. In rugby, do it where they, you hit the minute, and then when the ball goes out of play next, that's the end of the game. I would rather have an independent timekeeper. Because I think there are teams that take the absolute mick, and we're not alone in that. To be fair, Harry Pearl has made a living out of it for us for the last two seasons. But yeah, I'm for it, but I can see it causing problems.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan, but anyway, we'll see how it goes starting this weekend. Right. Pre-season then. Let's have a quick round of pre-season. It ended last week with a win at Wealdstone. We won 2-0. I think I got that right. Omar Bugal and Ali Alhamadi with the goals. So Ali Alhamadi working his way back to fitness ahead of the new season, which everyone's very, very happy to see. Spoke very briefly last week, Craig Cope, about lots of the new signings. We touched on Armani Little and Jake Reeves. We know about Bugal. We know about Nerfil, Josh Nerfil. Goalkeeper, Alex Bass.
Yes.
Lone goalkeeper.
From Sunderland, yeah.
Yeah.
Who's not a Geordie or a Mackham or whatever called up there. He is a Southern-based lad. I was fortunate enough to meet him the other week, and he's a very quiet. Goalkeepers are either eccentric or quiet, aren't they? One or two. They're never in between. But from what I've seen of him in pre-season, of course, you can only judge him against what we're playing against, and pre-season is like friendly fire, isn't it? But he's a big lad. I think he'd command his area, and he's good with his feet. So I think I don't I think he will be a number one, even though he hasn't got a number one goalkeeper jersey. But I think he will be. I think he'd be first choice at the start of the season.
As long as he's not quiet on the pitch.
It's difficult. He doesn't seem. Look, from what I've seen in pre-season, the only one I missed was last one against Wealdstone. But he's not dominant in terms of vocal, but if a cross is there to come, he comes and gets it.
Okay.
So he's not Ashley Bayes. Like, you can imagine him and Ashley Bayes in an empty room. There'd only be one person talking all the time, and it wouldn't be Alex.
Remember Ray Merry? He never used to say a word. The goalkeeper never said a thing. Anyway, that's now one for the sort of old school, isn't it? Blimey, going back 20 years. Right, who else? Joe Lewis and Ryan Johnson. Are they our centre halves pairing for the start of the season?
I think so. I like them. One thing I would say, we've recruited really good people. That's probably not the right way of putting it, but as well as we've recruited players' skill, we've also recruited for their personality.
I was going to say,
And these two, Ryan Johnson, lovely guy. You can tell he's been around the block a bit. Good centre half. Joe Lewis is going to be a lady's favourite, because, to be fair, if you've seen his shorts, like, they are skin tight. No, I know, Johnny.
Is this at all times of the
Basically,
day?
hey, I was fortunate enough to do I've done a tour for the new players. We'd done the induction day, and I offered to do a tour. And we're walking around, and I was just chatting to him, saying, "I noticed how you kept pulling your shorts up, as if they were too long." And he went, "Well, it was really, really warm." And I laughed, and I was like, "Look, if I had thighs like yours, I'll be pulling my shorts up as well." However,
All right, get a room.
the next game, I think Rocket has basically got, like, I think he's gone to the youth kit and got shorts that are literally ridiculously tight. So he is going to be a woman's favorite. There's no doubt about it. He's a really nice guy, but he's also he's a looker, a looker. I don't know how you call that nowadays. Do you know what I mean? But lovely guy, but he's going to be a lady's favorite. I've no doubt about that.
I hope Lyle Taylor's not listening. He's going to start getting jealous. Your affections are going elsewhere. But let's move on very quickly. Housewife's favorite, I think, is the term that would formerly have been used, but I'm not sure. I'm not sure. Who knows what
I'm
you're
not
allowed to say anymore? Who
politically
knows?
correct nowadays. I've no idea what to say. Do you know what I mean? He's going to be loved by everybody.
Not a clue what's acceptable and not anymore, to be honest with you. Right, who does that leave? James Ball?
Yeah, not. Do
Centre
you know what? He
midfielder?
only, yeah, he only come in for the Pompey game. I think he was here at the Pompey game. Do you know what? He's a size. He's a pro 6'2", 6'3". You can instantly see this season we are a bigger physical team. In every area and in midfield. So he's definitely, from what I saw, puts himself about, likes to tackle. Yeah, I can see exactly why we've got him. We're no longer the midgets within midfield. We've got some real height about us in that area.
The only injuries we've got going into the new season, Hassan Biller and Paul Callum Baye on the injury list. Not sure. I think PK is in training, or he's starting to train, so he might be back
Yeah.
soon. Biller about for a bit longer. Who plays? Well, I mean, not just right back. What sort of system do you expect us to start with?
We've realistically we've sometimes gone with two up. It looks like a little. We've obviously got wingers now as well, so we've gone in some situations with basically just an old 4-4-2.
Yay.
But with the capacity, so I think we are trying to play two. I don't think we're going to play two up in terms of right up against the centre halves, but we've mucked around with Omar Bugel. I'm going to call him Omar. I can never pronounce his surname.
I think
We've
it's
gone with Omar
Bugel.
Bugel. Bugel, I don't call him a Bugel, but a Bugel. So we've gone with Omar or Harry Pell in that sort of number 10 role, just off Davison or an Ali. James Tilley, Neuville has had a really good pre-season. Bags of pace. James Tilley again. I think James Tilley's gone under the radar, if
He's
I'm being honest with you.
the one we've not mentioned so far, yeah.
I think he's gone under the radar. I really do. And he's a decent player. You know, Crawley fans were not happy, were they?
They're
when
never
he
happy.
left. Well, to be fair, he started the Exodus, didn't he? Everyone else is leaving now. You know, last person to turn a light off at Crawley. But yeah, so I think that's where we're going to play. But I think it can probably go into a 4-2-3-1 potentially. But we look like we definitely want to play with a target man as such, or someone who can hold the ball up and bring others into play.
Okay, so Josh and Ali as a front two may or may not be a thing. We have to wait and see.
Ali's not been, he's not even anywhere close to being 100% fit, and he's still looking a right pain in the rear end for anybody that's playing against him. He's just got a hunger, and he just scores goals, which is great, because that's what forwards are paid to do.
I'm just looking down the squad sheet, actually, that was in the programme for the friendlies with QPR and Portsmouth. We won't talk more about this particular program. I just happened to notice, sorry, the assistant referee for the QPR game. I noticed a couple of things just as I was looking. John Harley, apparently the assistant manager at Portsmouth, that completely bypassed me. I forgot that Jody Morris, another ex Chelsea player, was the Swindon manager, wasn't he, until he lost his job at the end of last season. And
That's right.
not really don't like Jody Morris. Paul Yates was the assistant referee, and I just saw that and thought of Paul Yates. Do you remember Paul Yates? We used to do the big breakfast, I think.
Yeah,
Anyway.
blonde bleached hair, isn't it?
Yeah, blonde short hair. Anyway, totally off topic now. Outgoings then this season, just a mention of them then, because we've mentioned a number of new signings there, and you're looking at a team that might start at Grimsby with very few, if any, maybe Josh, Jack Curry being the only two that would have started last season, which is interesting.
Ogden Dear potentially, but yeah.
Oh, yeah, sorry, at right back, of course,
Was in
in
and
the
out, wasn't it? But yeah.
yeah. Some of the names that we know that have gone, Ethan Chislett, we know, gone to Port Vale. Alex Woodyard has gone off to York City. Will Nightingale on loan at Ross County. So, you know, there has been some toings and froings in the squad. It does feel like essentially a brand new team that's going to line up at Grimsby on the opening day. Just a shout out to Alex Woodyard. Johnny Jackson spoke very highly of Woody at Meet the Manager earlier this week, and I think we all wish Woody the best. Good guy, really good guy. And he remember everyone, he scored the goal that denied a certain team in Buckinghamshire promotion a couple of years ago. Without that goal, they would have been promoted. So we'll always have that. So thank you, Woody. I think you would echo those
Yeah,
thoughts, Stu.
and do you know what? Johnny Jackson was spot on. You know, Woody's a nice guy, really nice guy. Anyone that meets Woody, it's very difficult to dislike him. But equally, I think in hindsight, I ended last season. I was like, let's keep him. I think Woody. I think an effective Woody is very good. But that's always without the hindsight of knowing what players they want to bring in. And I don't think there's any doubt that when you bring in a player that's, you know, got promotion with Stevenage in League One into that position, I don't think there's much of a, it's a no-brainer really. I think Jake Reeves has sort of shown another level, and that's nothing, there's no disrespect to Woody, but it's just, you know, we know what we get with Jake Reeves. And then you've got other players that are around him. So I think it's the right thing for everyone. You know, he's got a really good challenge. I think York spent quite a bit of money. So I think they do well in the National League, and it'll be interesting to see how he gets on.
Jake Reeves taking over the captaincy with Alex Pearce becoming vice captain for the new season.
Yeah,
Right.
no, just very quickly, no brainer with Jake Reeves. Do you know what? 30 years old. I was reminding him when we gave him the Goal of the Season award in our very first season. And he, to be fair to him, he remembered it. And I did laugh that he looked a lot younger, and he said, "So did you?" I'm like, yeah, cheers for that. But you know what? Generally, you can see he's generally a leader, like, but not a leader in terms of shouting and demanding. But he's quietly unassuming. But you can tell that he's definitely that team is going to be even better for having a Jake Reeves, one in the team, but two as a leader on the pitch.
What are your expectations for this season from us? For me personally, I don't know why I add the word personally in there. If I say for me, it's obviously about me. Do you know
It's
what I
got to come
mean?
from you.
Exactly. I know it's just one of those cliche things people say without actually thinking what they're actually saying. I just want to enjoy the season. I think we'll be fine. Yeah, no pressure. Just obviously I will guarantee everyone that we're going to improve on last season, 100%, no doubt about that. Beat Wrexham, beat Milton Keynes. I'll be happy. Maybe a cup run. Maybe we can get to the third round of the FA Cup or something like that. But yeah, just enjoy the season, enjoy some wins. What about yourself, Stu?
Yeah, I want to. Hey, look, John, I want to get us away from having such a poor January window. And I know we're looking for the season as a whole. You know, the January window is really important. I want to see us. You know, we're talking about the ball being in play more, but I want to see our players playing with the ball more in terms of injuries and stuff like that. I think that's a big area that, you know, in terms of pre-season, we've hardly picked up any injuries. So I'm feeling that the squad we've got looks decent. But I'm also more confident that we'll see more of them, and won't have to make all the changes that we've had per week. League position, hey, look, do you know what? I'm not really. I said this the other day that I don't care. It's not that I don't care, but I want to see us progress off the pitch. And at the moment, I can see a really good transfer window. I'm excited to see how this squad develops, and I think we're getting a style of play, hopefully, that goes probably back to how we used to like it, in terms of a really hard working, doesn't give a monkeys about reputations, and we'll every team comes down to our place, we'll give them a game and they go back. And if they take the points from us, they will know they've worked their backsides off to get that. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to it. I think this is finally Johnny's team. You know, it's three transfer windows. He looks a lot more content. And I think that's because he's probably got his team that he wants to have. So I'm looking forward to it. But equally, I have the right to reserve judgment when we lose our first three games, of course. And, you know, that's football for you.
Well, don't. Hey, I think it's a tough start with the fixtures for the new
Oh,
season. But actually,
it's a tough league, Nick.
it is a very tough league. But I don't think we're going to do too badly at the start. What I would say is, what I would like as well. I would just like some more good memories of a season, because last season, I mean, Orient at home, maybe the win over Harrogate, possibly
The late
away win
winner, yeah.
Colchester away with Chislett scoring, but other than that, there wasn't a great deal to look back on particularly favourably. So we'd want more moments to remember, I think.
No, you're right. Because whenever we talk about Power Lane, we go and talk about Lane 9, don't we? Because that's all we can really. I'm trying
Yeah.
to think in the first
Oxford.
season about.
Oxford in the first season, the first win in front of fans. That was one, but hey, look, the warning signs were in that game as well, but it was a great memory and a great win. But other than that, yeah, there's not been a great amount, has there? So
No, you're right. You are right. It's about the memories. And yeah, I think you're spot on actually with that. Because we all know that Power Lane is a lovely place to be. We know that because we sold 4,400 season tickets. And I'm still surprised at that. Like I've said to many people at the club, what would happen if we actually won a game of football or a good season? Because we are attracting fans. And let's be fair, we're not attracting them for the football, but the wins on the pitch, are we?
obviously
So
not.
you're right. You're right, you know. So and do you know what? You know what pre-season's really taught me is I've missed my pie and naked chips even more than I thought I would. Like, they've not been around for pre-season. What's going on? I can't wait to see them back at Blair Lane.
I can't possibly comment, Stuart, on the catering, but hey, yeah, I'm well. There's a Greggs near opposite the road on the other side of the road now, isn't there? So
Yeah, which if I had a lottery, but if I had a lottery card for, I think I would have had quite a bit of money. I've been obviously there for the tours during the summer and stuff like that, and I've been at Greggs every time. And I think they believe I live around the corner. And Starbucks is open now, which is decent. And also the gym that is open. But the
Oh,
gym
yes, I've
hasn't
seen
opened.
this, yes.
Yeah, the gym hasn't opened, but yeah, they've got like a coffee shop in there or something. And it's all the rave apparently. Like now everyone who works at a club has got a real dilemma of where to go for lunch. Whereas before they probably bring the sandwiches in because there was nowhere to go.
Do you remember
So
when we used to work at the shop in Selhurst and you had the cafe like about 100 yards away, and then you had Sainsbury's? It was like, blimey, I need to walk past Selhurst one of these days just to go back down there and see what it looks like these days. I mean, I'm imagining it's not really changed, to be honest with you,
I think I can remember.
but
but yeah, so yeah, there's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of stuff down there, but it's busy. The thing is, what I would say is it was busy enough anyway. Obviously, there's even more stuff now on that road. So yeah, it's even busier.
we are rapidly running out of time. We've got a lot to squeeze in still. So
Yes.
very briefly, just, I mean, I'm not together this list looking around the rest of League Two of where we roughly think challenges for promotion, relegation candidates, all that sort of business. I sort of condensed it into this list. I think most people, the common wisdom is the top three will be Wrexham, Notts County and Stockport. I think they are considered to be the three favourites that will probably contest contest the title.
Yeah, John, the only difference I've got is I've not put Notts County in my top seven.
Ooh, okay.
Because I think there will be one club, I think it's a very strong league, and I think there'll be one club that people think will do well. I don't think they will as well. I've got Wrexham, Stockport, and Gillingham in that
Okay,
order.
yeah, Gillingham, yeah. So Gillingham are in my sort of next group down then, challenging because of clearly the finances that have gone in there. Similarly, you expect Salford and Bradford again to be up there. Colchester have put money in. Doncaster are expected to
Yeah,
do well.
I put Doncaster in my challenge. I put my playoff positions,
Yeah.
and I put Carlisle in there because I think I've got a good manager at Carlisle.
That'll be a hell of a trick for Carlisle to do well in League
Oh,
Two
they've
next
gone up,
season.
haven't they?
Yeah. Who on earth were you thinking of? Oh, your face at this moment is a picture. I wish we were doing the visual.
Oh, you know what? This tells you how sometimes you do your research and you don't really clock.
This is legendary. This is up there with Turf Mill.
Was like, Carlisle will do well again this season. Of course, they've done very well last season.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course, Carlisle, they won't be doing in the top half of League Two because they're not in League Two. I don't know
No.
who I replaced them with them. Probably, I don't know, it's pretty thrown me really. I'm not
You're
sure about Colchester. I know they spent money. I don't think it'll be Mansfield. I'm just going to go with three people in the playoffs because I can't really think of anyone else now that. We replaced Carlisle because I wasn't expecting Tata to replace them.
Dare I ask who you think is going to go down? Hartlepool, Rochdale, who have you got?
I've got Crewe and Crawley.
Okay, Crawley, I think we're all expecting to go down. Crewe is interesting. Okay.
I just think sometimes in terms of budgets, and I know it's not all about budgets, but that's where I just think Crawley definitely, and I think Crew will eventually struggle. I think they're going to be one of those teams that would have a rough season at some point. And I just have a little bit of fancy that they will.
Crew, yes, yeah, it's a strange one. I hope they're right. I like Crew. And
Yeah.
I
If
hope
I had a
they're.
choice, there'd be two teams. Cordy definitely, and one other team would be my automatic for people that I don't like. But I don't want to talk about them at any point.
No, fair enough. No, we're not going to talk about that other lot. Sutton, how do you think Sutton are going to get on this season? Because I think they could be in a bit of a struggle as well. Although they've signed a couple of decent players.
You look at, do you know what? You look at their recruitment. It's decent. It's decent recruitment. If you know, they have a certain way of playing, probably not too dissimilar to how we want to play. We probably want to play with a bit more. I don't mean so disrespectfully. I think we probably want to play with a bit more quality in certain areas. I don't think they struggle at all. I think they'd be easily probably top half. If I said where we're going to finish or where I'd like us to finish, I've gone for 12th, just
Yeah.
bang the table. I wouldn't be surprised to see Sutton probably either side 11th or 13th. I don't think they're going to be in trouble going down, not by what I've seen of their recruitment.
Okay, well, we start next season. We start the season away at Grimsby on Saturday. We'll quickly have a look at Grimsby after we have a go at brand new game, which I'm
Happy
very
days.
excited about, Stu. And I
I
have
can't wait.
called it this season, this game is basically blankety blank, but I couldn't think of a name for it. So I've taken one of the parts of blankety blank and I've come up with the Aaron Sasupa match game.
I like
And it's very simple,
it.
Stu.
I
I'm just going to
like
give
it.
you one sentence and you just have to fill in the blanks correctly. Okay? You just have to fill in the blank of this sentence correctly. All right? Nice and straightforward. And it's tied in with our opponents on Saturday. So, on the 23rd of March 2002, we lost 6-2 at Blundell Park in the old Nationwide League Division One. Grimsby's fourth goal was a penalty scored by Alan Pooten, but it was scored at the second attempt. His first attempt was saved by goalkeeper Blank Blank, but ordered to be retaken for encroachment.
So this is the keeper, isn't it? I've got a name.
Yeah, basically, yeah. I mean, I could have just asked you which goalkeeper saved the penalty at Grimsby, but then had to be retaken.
Who would have been playing back then? It would have been Paul. No, Paul Hill.
Is that your final answer?
I think it might be right.
It's not. And you know what? I misremembered this as well. It was Shane Gore.
Wow.
Because the goalkeeper who started the game was sent off in conceding the penalty, right? Shane Gore was a substitute. He came on, making his league debut. His first touch saves a penalty, and then it gets ordered to be retaken for encroachment. If you watch it back, and I'll put the highlights out on our Twitter at 9YRS Podcast for everyone to watch, there is horrendous encroachment for another penalty that they scored. And this was their second penalty, I think. And there was no encroachment whatsoever. And you can maybe argue that he was perhaps a yard off his line, but I don't think so. It was an absolute injustice on a grand scale. But Shane Gore was indeed the answer. I thought it had been Paul Heald that had been sent off originally, but it was actually Ian Foyer who played that day, and he was sent off.
The American goalkeeper was about 6 foot,
Yeah,
well, close to
huge.
7 foot when he was humongous, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Well, didn't Shane Gore then play against us for
Yes.
a women days, didn't he? Is that
He
right?
did. He did. I
I
want to
remember.
say Hastings, but I'm not sure. We'd have to look that one up.
No one wants to live at Hastings, do they? Do you know what I mean? Poor bloke, he end up living down there.
It's a bit of a battle to get down there.
Not
Yeah.
that. Oh, I set that one up, didn't I?
There we
But
go.
yeah,
Anyway, so there you
cool.
go. Grimsby, we revisit. They were our final fixture of last season at Blundell Park. Can't recall this ever happening before where we ended the season with the
No.
same fixture. We start the next one. We lost 1-0, but no one cared at that point. Last season, they finished 11th in their first season back in the Football League, but they also reached the quarter final of the FA Cup, beating Southampton and Luton Town on their route to finally being knocked out by Brighton in the end. Good manager in Paul Hurst, very experienced manager at lower levels. Couple of transfer things I want to touch on. They have signed Danny Rose from Stevenage, got promoted with Stevenage last season, was almost an ever-present, played 43 league games last season, only scored 6 goals, which surprised me. But that's a very, very good signing. their goalkeeper, Max Crocombe, who was ever present last season. They offered him a new contract. He rejected it. They've got in what seems to be Jake Eastwood from Sheffield United as a replacement. And he is someone that's been on Sheffield United, been on loan many, many places, but never been a sort of number one choice anywhere. You wouldn't expect him to be at Sheffield United, I suppose. But so that's about 26 years of age coming into a sort of without a regular run of games is interesting. Anyway, that's their problem to worry about. What do you reckon? I think we're going to win. I think Grimsby are going to go into this thinking that they're going to have another good season and they're going to improve on last season after the FA Cup run, And I think they're going to look at us having a poor season, think it's an easier home win on the opening day. And I think we're going to upset the apple cart, so to speak.
Yeah, it's so difficult, isn't it? Because you could argue that we've only conceded one goal in pre-season and lost, you know, and that's the results. They've lost four games in pre-season. It's so difficult to start the season, isn't it? It's an exciting new season. You're right. Hopefully they're preparing for the team that we sent last game. Don't, you know, because it is, hey, look, Johnny Jackson's right. It's a really good gauge of where we are. I can't remember the last time that's happened where we, you know, the last game of the season is your first game of the following one. So for us, it's probably a good benchmark. And my attitude is, you know, like anything, let's just not lose our first game of the season. I think that's always a real important thing to do. I'd take a draw straight away. But I'm looking forward to see how we play. You know, we really have changed this team of how they play. We look a lot more solid, a lot more exciting going forward. So I'm really looking forward to seeing how we play. Yes, it's a result business, but equally, it's a long season. And if we start having an identified way of playing, then that for me would be brilliant. So, and also just don't pick up any injuries because we've got Wrexham. Coventry and Wrexham coming up, which are two exciting games.
Yeah,
for the first home games of the season.
Yeah, absolutely. Coventry League Cup on Wednesday, of course, before Wrexham come down with the circus on the Saturday. just a quick scoreline prediction for Grimsby.
0-0.
Okay, all right. You sound like me. I'm going for a 2-1 win, and I've already put this as my prediction on the Ask a Prediction League. We'll put the link out on our Twitter as well, and I've locked it in. I just feel it coming. 2-1 win. Happy days.
Things must be happy. If you're thinking we're going to win on the first game of the season when we... Yeah, how many games did we lose last season? 21.
21. Thanks for reminding us that, Stu. I'm just balancing out all my... 20, there we go. Well, yeah. But I'm just balancing out all the negativity from things like cashless stadiums and programmes. But we're not going to get into that now. We don't have the time. We've only got 2 minutes left. Elsewhere in Leeds, I'm looking forward. Stockport versus Gillingham seems a big, big game on the opening day of the season.
Big one. Yeah, big one.
But also be interested to see how, and we didn't mention some of these teams, the likes, the relegated teams, Accrington Stanley, they host Newport, two teams I think that will be in the lower reaches this season. Morecambe and Walsall similarly. And I think Morecambe and Accrington could be those that are probably looking over their shoulders at relegation, along with Harrogate Town, who have a Yorkshire derby with Doncaster.
Do you know, be interesting, starting at home to Notts County?
Yeah.
You've got a team that will play direct football against a team that when Neil Hardy done our VIP tour in the summer, he said Notts County keep the ball for fun. I think they had like 70% possession the whole season. So you're going to have a team that's going to put the ball forward very quickly and Notts who are going to... How are they going to adapt to League Two? I'm looking forward to seeing how that one goes.
And that's it, I think, Stu. Because our time is rapidly ticking down. But we have many subjects that we will talk about next week when we start coming back to home matches. But that is it. If you're going up to Grimsby, good luck. Have a good day travelling. Stay dry. It's going to be very, very wet. And you never know. Sometimes the weather conditions can also make things difficult as well. So impact the game. We shall see. Updates will be on our Twitter at 9YRSPodcast.
And if you've got an early train on the way back, you should have thought about that one.
Yeah, good luck as long as there's not 20 minutes of injury time. On that note, that is it for this week. So, Stu, thank you very much for joining me.
Thank you.
Good luck to Carlisle for the League Two campaign. But thank you, everyone, for listening. Alexa Bliss, bag first, milk last, 2 plus 2 continues to equal 4. And we shall speak to you again next week.